Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, man?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. I feel like I've been with you all day.
We have. We had a meeting today.
Yeah, we did.
I don't know what it was about.
Well, you saw the emails, right, that we got, because we've been getting them for a couple of weeks, that said, hey, you know, meeting. And then they said, like, hey, we've moved the meeting. And I thought, oh, that's great. Because they moved the meeting, like, last minute. Mm-hmm. So I figured if anyone said anything about me not coming to the meeting, I'd be like, it got moved, and I made all these plans, because, you know, I got a lot of stuff to do, drive my mom to doctor's appointments and stuff. And so, you know, when you changed it like that, there was nothing I could do.
But then, yesterday,
our boss said, hey, just making sure, I've already told the big boss you'll be there. They checked, and I told them, yes, I promise you'll be there. I was not planning on going up to that point.
Of course not. I'd never even known there was a meeting. That's how little I look at all that stuff.
Oh, you weren't even aware of it.
Until I got the email about the meeting.
There were so many emails about the meeting.
Well, I don't read them.
Well, okay, yeah. It's been a long time. And it was always like where I looked at it and go, oh, good, that's still weeks away. Oh, that's next week. And then I thought, well, I'm not going to that anyway. And no part of me planned on it. But I got a little nervous when our boss said, look, they've made me promise that you're going to be there. So then I started thinking, why are they asking to make sure that we're going to be there? We miss those things all the time. Oh, what's going to happen? But nothing happened.
No. We did find out, I felt bad.
Why?
Well, we found out that somebody who works here was the baby in the parent trap.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like a trivia thing about one of our coworkers.
Yeah, they were like, I guess the baby in the parent trap.
Yeah, with the Steve Martin one.
I guess, yeah. So, I felt bad.
Why?
Well, if you're the baby in the parent trap with Steve Martin, like, I just assume, like, you went on to do you know, Hollywood stuff.
No, like, not a baby. Those babies never end up doing anything.
How the hell did you get out there for all the filming and everything? Like, I would think everybody complains about nepotism. I would think a baby would be, that's the nepo baby. Like, who's got a baby? And they're like, oh, you know, Kelly, who does agency work, right, has got a baby. We'll put the baby in the Parent Trap. They just don't grab a baby from Kansas City and put it in there.
Well, I don't think she was living here at the time.
Well, I'm just saying. So I was like, man,
yeah.
Now here you are with me.
Well, remember we had that girl who used to call into the show in Seattle, and she was the one of the children who would put on the suit in that Mac and Me movie, at least she claimed, that alien movie, the E.T. ripoff. Do you remember her?
No.
She was, I remember thinking when she would talk to us, you know, oh, this girl was in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, she must have been, her parents must have wanted her to be an actress, all those things. And so I had this kind of idea of what she looked like in my head. And
well, I made her put on a mask, so.
Well, I know, but, you know, you're thinking like a kid who's going out and trying out for roles, but I don't know how you get that role. And then I saw it. It was just not what I expected at all.
No, what was she doing?
At all.
No.
Yeah, it was not anything related to no. Hollywood. No.
Well, even then, she was a kid, so maybe, you know, whatever. This one's a baby.
Well, look at the baby from the cover of Nevermind, you know? Yeah, he's kind of known because he sued and stuff.
Yeah, but that's a photograph. You're not in a
movie. But it's iconic. I know. I get what you're saying.
A movie is a movie. Like, they filmed it and it had Steve Martin in it and Lindsay Lohan.
I wonder how many.
Like, it was filled with stars and it's a cult classic to this day.
I wonder how many
and
babies.
You were the baby. Like, I would have just assumed you would have been in at least other TV shows as a child and then just continued on. You just.
Nah.
I mean, you peaked at one.
I doubt. If you start looking up babies from movies and trying to figure out, you know, what happened after that, they didn't do anything.
Maybe not the Parent Trap. I don't know which one it was.
Oh, yeah, Parenthood.
Parenthood.
It's got to be Parenthood. They said Parent Trap. They meant Parenthood. That makes a lot more sense.
Well,
she didn't look old, she didn't look old enough, though. I thought somebody else said it. They guessed it. Someone else guessed it. Then she's like, yeah, it was me. And then, yeah. So maybe I'm sure she would get it right. But anyway, the point is, I've looked up some of these people. Don't ask me why. But I get curious, like the baby from Willow. You're like, oh, that baby's in this movie the whole time. What did that person go on to do? I've looked people up like that before, and you can't find anything about them. So I'll bet most of them, they peak when they're babies.
Well, you don't know that.
Well, I'm just
saying.
You
can't find anything about them.
What else have you read? Like, did you know this actor was the baby in this movie? You never see it.
They could be.
You never see it, though. Find me one.
They could have went and been,
it's rare. Like, oh, did you know George Clooney was the baby?
Right, it could have been.
You never see. Well, that would be like one of those facts.
But his dad was like a radio guy in Cincinnati, so he wouldn't have been the baby. I'm saying the babies show up.
So, like, Emma Roberts.
Because they're Francis Ford Coppola's brother-in-law's baby. That's why. And then you're like, where was he? And you're like, oh, look, he ended up in a movie that, you know, the other Coppola daughter did. Like, of course.
Well, a lot of times they do use the director's kids. If the director has babies, or like,
trying to say.
I know, but sometimes those people don't want to be actors. I don't know.
Well, they don't want to be here with me at 10:15 in the morning.
Nobody does. It's called work, okay?
I know, but I'm saying if you're the baby in the parenthood, you shouldn't have to be here. Your life should be planned out for you.
You'd think Steve Martin would send you something.
You would think,
you know,
somebody would.
An invite to a Christmas party. You meet some people. You get to rub shoulders. Rub elbows, shoulders, boobs. I don't know what you rub.
Right.
But you rub stuff when celebrities offer it. Yeah, you rub elbows. Yeah. You rub elbows with these people, and that's how you get into this business, baby. You got to know somebody. They're all related. Any hot, new, young actor, you find out they're related to someone.
Yeah.
For some reason, that pisses some people on TikTok off, or it did a couple years ago. Not me. I don't care. I mean, you know.
Pisses me off that this baby didn't become famous.
Right. You're more upset that the baby was just exploited like that.
Yeah.
Exploited and discarded.
Right.
It's not like Steve Martin went and tried to sell radio.
Like, right. Steve Martin was in a million things that didn't work. You could have put the baby in some of those.
Exactly.
She could have been in that new stupid podcast hotel thing.
Right. Yes, I think that might be a hit.
Or something?
Yeah.
Right.
Murder in the building or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
She could have been Selena Gomez.
I'm telling her, like, she could have done something with Martin Short.
Right. Come on. Please.
There's plenty of opportunity there.
Yeah. She should have been at the SNL 50.
Right. She should have been.
Not here. Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm trying to tell you.
I didn't even really see who it was, though. So
me neither.
I saw a group of girls, heard a voice, and I saw it was one of those girls up there. Women, whatever.
See, there you go. The baby from Raising Arizona was Dakota Fanning. That's what I'm saying, man.
Okay.
I'm trying to tell you.
I'm saying that it's harder than you think. You'd think that these babies would go on to do great things, and they don't always. I don't know. I wonder who she knew. Go down there, find her. First, you got to figure out who it was, and ask her how she ended up as the baby. Who did she know? Why was she the baby available? Her parents had to have had someone in her family was involved in this production.
I don't bring it up. It's got to be traumatic.
It's not traumatic. They brought it up at the meeting.
I know, and I felt bad. That's what I'm saying. Like, don't bring that up.
She didn't seem to mind. She was like,
Parenthood. Like, sure, because like, but in her head, she's like, God damn.
I felt a little bad for him. I could see that. I see me doing
the guy
that.
What went to jail?
No, the guy that made the joke afterwards. He turned and looked. He turned.
I saw you in a diaper.
He goes, "I've seen you in a diaper." And the girls that were sitting there together go, "Ugh!" And he goes, "And he turns and looks back forward and doesn't say anything else." And I'm thinking, "Ooh, should he try and apologize? Say he was just kidding?" No, he's probably doing the best thing. Just look away. Just look away. I've seen you in a diaper. I mean,
it's not so weird.
It's not weird. Right. But when they go,
then you go, I don't know.
What did they do?
Am I built for this world? Right. You said you were a baby in a movie I've seen.
We're all joking and laughing here. And then I was like, I've seen your
dead silence.
Diaper.
Like, man.
But, you know.
I did not land the way I thought it was going.
There's a lot of dudes that are into diapers out there. And so, you can't even say that and be innocent. That's why you can't say that.
But I'm not, they're adult diapers.
I understand, but sometimes they have pacifiers and stuff. Yeah.
Well, so what? I mean, but they're adult diapers.
I know they're adult diapers. That's a little fit. That's why they're adult diapers. But they're putting them on because they're pretending to be like babies. Wah. They go, wah. You've obviously never actually watched any of that stuff.
I never seen them go, wah.
Oh, you haven't? Mm. Then you haven't seen a lot of them.
I haven't seen the one you've seen.
Well, true. You haven't seen the ones that I've seen. I don't know what they're doing to the ones. In the ones you're seeing, what are they, just loading the diapers and then taking them off? Is that what they're doing?
They're just laying around in them, I guess.
Just laying around, hanging out with friends.
Rubbing elbows.
So they're not pretending to be babies.
I don't think
they're
so.
They're just like, I wear an adult diaper, and that's the fetish?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I need to... Can you pick me up some more of these Depends? I've really gone through these today.
Yeah, I've never seen them, like, have a pacifier and be like, wham, wham, wham. I never saw that.
So they're just wearing the diaper.
Yeah.
As an adult in an adult diaper.
Well, I think it's close enough, you know what I mean? That they're not like, we don't really need to go full cradle here. Like, Jesus.
Well, that's what they do in those things.
I think even those ladies are like, let's not go that far.
I'm just telling you what I've seen. And, it didn't interest me. Again, I'm not shaming anyone. Didn't interest me. I think I've never seen one where a group of people are sitting around and one girl's just wearing an adult diaper and she's like, hey, pick me up another mega pack of Depends when you're at Target because I've really been going through these.
Well, I don't think they go into that great detail.
But whatever the storyline is supposed to be that she's wearing this diaper, I don't know. Just that he likes diapers.
I don't think there's a storyline.
Let me pull your diaper to the side.
It's like a hot chicken, pantyhose, and diapers, and then she rubs elbows.
I know,
like,
but they've got the stepmom comes home from work. There's
a
story.
But you kind of get like you don't need too much more here.
If she just shows up in a diaper, I need some explanation of why she's wearing the diaper. I would like some.
I clicked on it for a reason. I don't need you to describe to me why she got the diaper on. That doesn't matter.
But you're saying you've never seen them put on the grab the rattle and the pacifier.
Well, but you have.
Yes, I have.
I have. The Church of Laszlo. A loyalty tester.
Yeah. I should have known what this was already. I didn't learn about it until USA Today write something about it yesterday. Apparently it's popular on, especially TikTok, but it's popular online. And there's actual companies that have gotten set up. So in the story, they talk about this girl. They don't give her full name. They just call her Ari. A hairstylist in New York. And at some point, she'd been cheated on, right? And when she was cheated on, she was heartbroken, devastated, terrible, terrible experience. She got a new boyfriend.
Yeah.
He's different. She knows that. She has no reason to believe he's a cheater.
Yeah. Except
that he's a dude. Right. Mm-hmm. And that she's been cheated on before.
Sure.
So she decides, she hears about these loyalty testers and decides that she's going to reach out to one of them. She wanted the peace of mind. She wanted the loyalty test. So these loyalty tests, as far as I can tell, that's what they call them online. Like I said, have gotten really popular. And the idea, I'm sure you figured out by now, is... You contact someone and you ask them to flirt with your significant other because you want to see how your significant other responds.
Sure.
So usually they do it over social media. They send messages. They'll start liking pictures and send messages, whatever. If your significant other flirts back, what do you do then? If your significant other sets up a time to meet this person, then that's about as bad as it gets, I guess. And then it's going to be up to you to decide what you want to do after that. So there's actually a company that's gotten so popular, there's been millions and millions of views, I guess, and the USA Today says it spawned an industry, and there's this company called Loyalty Test, and I'll tell you about them later, but they allow you to make a profile on their website, sort of like Cameo, where you say, hey, here I am. If you want a message, it costs this much. With Loyalty Test, you put a profile up, and you say, hey, you want me to flirt with someone? Here's what I charge. Here are my rates, right? So, you know, you put your picture up there. I'm guessing the better looking you are, the more comfortable you feel asking for more money. So Ari uses that company, hires someone. Luckily, her boyfriend passed the test. I didn't get to see who the person was that reached out. I did get to see what she looked like, though, and I saved a picture here for you. Supposedly, that's Ari there.
And she tested her boyfriend?
She tested her boyfriend. Yeah. Twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo, by the way, if you want to join us and see some of the stuff. Anyhow, her boyfriend passed, and then she thought, you know what? I had such a great experience with this. Really loved the peace of mind they gave me. Exactly.
I'll be the flirter?
I'm going to become a loyalty tester. Okay. So now she is a loyalty tester. She wants to give people the same peace of mind that she so craved, you know, and luckily got. She said, I felt like I could do this. I know I can help people out.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. She says it has been hard to see how frequently and how spectacularly so many people fail her test.
Mm.
So, you know, they don't all pass like her boyfriend. They can't all be as good as her boyfriend.
Of course.
But now, with millions of views and a website where you can upload a profile, you now have to worry that something as innocent as flirting online with a person, let's say that you don't plan on cheating. You're faithful. You're like, I'm not going to cheat.
Well, you never plan on it.
Well, you know, sometimes you might be like, I don't even care. If someone reached out to me now. But if you're happy.
Of course. So
you're like, you're just not the kind of person that would cheat, let's say. You don't want to meet up with anybody. That would be crossing a serious line. But if someone were to deep like a bunch of pictures on your Instagram or start messaging you on social media and said something, you know, you might think, oh, okay, I'm okay with this. I'll flirt back. I'll say something sort of flirty. It's kind of fun. And I'm curious really just to see, is she flirting with me? And if she is, eventually you kind of know for sure she's definitely flirting with me. You go, man, that feels good. And maybe that's all you do. If that's all you do, that really should be between you and the person that you flirted with, you know? I mean, this could be something long distance. Some girl could have moved, you know. Maybe she went to your school when you were younger, and now she lives in Florida or whatever. And it's just nice to know that she's flirting with you. Now, you're rolling your eyes, but you are the one who has said that this is not cheating. Flirting with someone online is not cheating. And I really don't think that it should be grounds for a breakup. Now, if it's, you know, the straw that breaks the camel's back, then, okay, there's other things going on. But just the fact that you reached out, the problem is that as soon as you go to this loyalty test website and decide to hire someone, your relationship is already over.
It's already over.
It's already over. You should not be doing this. There's only two things that can happen.
Right, and even if you just have the question, if you actually get to the website and pay somebody to flirt with your boyfriend because you think he might flirt, like, you've already lost.
Exactly. So
what's it matter? You don't gain anything.
You don't gain anything. What good comes from it? Okay, so he didn't flirt back in this. Now, so does that give you total peace of mind? And now you know.
No,
he'll never flirt back.
I promise you, it doesn't.
You don't. You're already the kind of person that's nervous about this
anyway.
Right,
so then in 6 months, you're like, well, maybe he is now. So, I mean, return customer, try it again.
Right, and since you're already nervous enough to hire someone to do this, you're going to be really overly sensitive to what the things that he says, if he responds to this person. Things that possibly, if you went through your own social media and looked at some of the messages you've sent that you thought were totally innocent, might be equal to the messages that he sends back. But because you've already got this on your mind, and because you're like a caged animal, you're waiting for something to happen, as soon as he likes something back, that's going to be, it's going to be over the edge. You're going to think, oh, my God, he didn't pass the test.
But I think you go that far, but you don't even have to. You already are sending a private eye to try to entrap your significant other or your boyfriend or girlfriend. So what's it matter? Like, if you're already doing that,
then it's over.
Then it's over. You don't trust him anyway. And you're never really going to gain that trust.
No. And if you're going to the website and thinking about it, and then you go, I don't want to do this to him. I still think you got serious problems. The fact that you even considered it and went there and looked. And we're not the only ones. It's not just us, two divorced guys giving relationship advice. In that article, they interviewed a woman, Amy Kahn, who wrote a book about love, like a breakup boot camp or something like that. Some popular book about relationships. And she advised against them completely. She said, if you suspect that your partner is lying to you, then she thinks you know, doing something deceitful yourself will only make it harder for the two of you to build trust. Because I don't know if you're probably going to tell this person, like, hey, you know what, I want you to know you passed this test. But I'm sure some people probably do. If you do that, well, now you got this hanging out there because he knows now that you've tested him. He knows now that you did something. I'm with her. You did something dishonest. And now you've got that between both of you. Like, you were doing what? You were sending spies to try and see if I would flirt with them?
But
like,
how about this? If you're, well, maybe it won't work that way. If you're a guy and you want to go on there and they're like, hey, flirt with my girlfriend and see if she flirts back with you.
Mm-hmm.
That means that this guy assumes that she probably will.
Mm-hmm.
And so she may be promiscuous. This could be a good way to meet chicks.
Dude. That's what I was going to get to.
Right? So, like, if you're just like, or if you're a girl and you want to bang a bunch of dudes, well, now you've got a whole list of guys whose girlfriends think, and then you could be like, after you talk to me, you could be like, your girlfriend put me up to this. I'll still sleep with you, but I'll tell her.
Yeah.
Not doing anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's like...
Or if it's your wife, I mean, if you're the girl, you could be like, hey, your wife paid $50 for me to see if you would flirt with me. $100, and I'll tell her that you didn't.
But you, even though you can.
Right.
You can, you know.
Right. Or even if you said you can.
Yeah, either way.
But now I'm just going to make both of you pay.
I mean, as a guy, if you were a male loyalty tester, it's like being given the keys to the castle. You're already in. I mean, here it is. You've got the lead. You don't have to cold call. You don't have to search the web. You don't have to wait for friend requests. You've got this person. They're reaching out, and they're saying, hey, I want you to test this promiscuous person. I wanted to find a quote from that relationship author. She said, as someone who's worked with thousands of heartbroken individuals, I can tell you that these tests are essentially relationship sabotage disguised as peace of mind. When you hire someone to test your partner's loyalty, you're already operating from a foundation of suspicion rather than trust.
Sure.
This approach doesn't build security, it erodes it. It introduces deception into the relationship. But, all that said, I think it's a dumb idea. I think if you hire when your relationship's already over, you can become one of these people.
Yeah. And,
I don't know that anyone would hire me.
Your boyfriend's gonna flirt back.
But you know, I was thinking, there's a lot of good-looking people on the website when I went there. It's loyalty.
Your boyfriend's gonna flirt back.
It's loyalty-test.com. When I went there, there were a bunch of good-looking girls on there. But I thought, you know, what about some average-looking Joes so that the person isn't suspicious? Maybe if the guy was too hot, she might think, oh, this is probably a bot. I don't know if girls get bots or not, but guys do. But now, by the way, if you're in a relationship, you just have to assume, which you always kind of did with social media. It was always smart to just assume that the person on the other end is basically your significant other.
Right.
You know, you have no idea who's on the other end of that profile.
Well, worth it.
But you can't live your entire life like that.
No, you can't.
You got to kind of try and find a balance.
Shoot
there.
Or shoot.
Look, it's possible, but...
So if you're like, hey, you always weigh it. So you're like, if this girl's flirting with me and you talk to her back, you're like, oh, she really does like me, would I break up with my girlfriend or my wife over this for her? Well, if the answer is yes, then just go on. And if it happens to be your wife, then whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But chances are it's not.
No.
So, good for you.
I do think it would be fun for you to try. If you put up a profile at loyalty-test.com.
Yeah.
And see, and the other thing I thought, you know, there's a bunch of good-looking girls, but I thought, why, it doesn't even have to be pictures of yourself. It could be anybody. You know what I mean?
Right,
unless you were really wanting to meet the person.
Like, yeah.
Send more pictures or something like that.
Yeah, and, you know, they go back and look at the history, everything you would do before you met someone.
Be a lot easier if you were yourself, for sure.
Right.
But it would be fun, right? If somebody reaches out, if some guy says Laszlo, or whatever you decide to call yourself on this website, you can change your name. But they reach out to you and say, I need you to. I got this girlfriend, and I'm going to try
to bang her.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to try to bang her.
I mean, talk about a hot lead.
Like, I am so happy you got a whore for a wife.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've been looking all over for her.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51.
And the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo!
Yo, the news.
Tell me about Gerard Depardieu. I don't know anything about that guy. I mean, I know the name. I looked up his movies. I don't really know. The Man in the Iron Mask, maybe. He was in Cyrano de Bergerac. Some French dude. He was really good looking at one time. Yeah. He owns the hotels and stuff. He's worth $200 million.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah.
He was like, when I was a kid in
the
90s.
He's not that attractive now, but.
No, he looks a lot different. But he did some like rom-coms.
Had an accident or something, though.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, you know, he's also just gotten older. And I mean, even when I was a kid, I felt like he's probably past his best looking days. I can just imagine my mom's having to tell me, like, you know, he used to be really good looking.
Mm-hmm.
But he did do comedy stuff that I saw when I was a kid, but I haven't seen him in a long time. And this movie that he was working on, I think they said it was a French film, but he was accused of some inappropriate behavior on the set of whatever this movie was.
What kind of behavior?
Well, they discuss it a little bit.
And French actor Gerard Depardieu is on trial in Paris. The 76-year-old's facing charges of alleged sexual assault during the 2021 production of the film Les Volets Verts. Prosecutors say the incidents include obscene remarks and inappropriate touching of two women. Depardieu denies any wrongdoing.
Okay, so the defense is, if you looked him up, you probably saw the headline already. You didn't see it? He says he's too old and too fat to be guilty of such claims. And I guess I did see somewhere that people were not happy about that.
Why?
I saw
like old fat guys were like, yo,
they called
I can finger people too. Who's upset?
There's a group, it says here, of nearly 200...
Who could be mad?
Nearly 200 French lawyers on Friday urged the judiciary to fight the kind of courtroom sexism they said Gerard Depardieu's lawyers used to defend the star in his sex abuse trial.
So
I saw that they said
guys
this is
are mad.
Sex,
like, hey, we can
sexist.
Sexually assault women too.
Yeah,
I
guess.
Can't.
It said it's an unusual style of defense, and that it's also aggressive.
Aggressive so, by saying I'm too old and fat.
Well, maybe
the
because
of aggressive.
I think the aggressive part is separate because I guess his lawyers were calling these people, these accusers, liars. Called one of them hysterical. You know, you don't want to probably do that in a courtroom setting where you've got women who, I don't know, in France.
You're trying to win.
I know, but you go like, she's a hysterical liar. Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta win over
if you're trying to win in the court of law, I'm not saying, ladies, you should do this. I'm just saying, and one of the reasons why women don't want to come forward in some of these things, because lawyers will call you a hysterical, crazy lady.
Yeah.
That's what you do in court.
Yeah. You're
like, listen to this crazy lady. He's crazy. This is Gerard Depardieu, for God's sakes. This crazy lady, look at, he used to be hot, so he's had plenty of sex with hotter women than that. Now he's old and fat. He can't even chase her around. He's making stuff up. She wants a piece of her $200 million. Put her on the stand. I swear to God, she'll start acting all crazy.
That's kind of what they did
like,
Johnny Depp thing.
Right, wee.
And it worked for Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. You know, they say that trial was won on TikTok, but still, it worked. They certainly called her crazy, talked about her pooping in the bed and all that stuff.
Pooping in the bed?
Huh?
We don't have to say someone's crazy. She left a poop in the bed.
Right. She says the dog did it, though.
Okay, but it was human excrement.
Well, that's what Johnny Depp says.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, there was enough.
There was
a lot of stuff. Like, the internet's not always crazily wrong.
I wasn't saying that they were. I'm just saying that maybe some people thought that was sexist. I'm sure that there were people that were upset with the accusations that he lodged.
I wouldn't even use
the
Johnny Depp thing. I would use more like in the court of law where they go like, you're like, oh man, that's probably not good. I would use the Kobe Bryant one where they're like, hey, we're going to keep the girl's name private. Mm. And then the lawyer's like, yeah, I'm going to go say her name.
Yeah.
And then the judge was like, wait, I thought we were going to keep it private. He's like, she's like, you mean I'm not allowed to say Slim Fast? He's like, wait, did you just do that again? She's like, I don't know. Did Slim Fast say we can't say Slim Fast? And the judge's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Slim Fast? Do you not just want us to say Slim Fast? And they're like,
Just forget it. Just forget it.
Right. So, I mean, that was one where you're like, oh, well, that's interesting.
I don't think that the defense, I'm too fat and too old to have done this, necessarily is a great defense. I think what it could mean is, I'm too fat and too old to really be threatening to anyone. You knew I wasn't thinking that we were going to hook up. You know I wasn't actually flirting with you hoping to get... Come on. So I smacked your ass. Whatever.
I'm too fat to one pound. Like I can't even get a boner.
Right. Who cares? Exactly. Exactly.
Whatever.
I'm no threat. I am no threat.
I'm an old fat guy.
Come on.
I think there's something to that.
I don't mean. I do too. That's what I'm saying. I do think
there's something to that.
I
don't know. But
somewhat
I'm like,
reasonable.
There
at least.
Is something different between an old guy in a wheelchair.
Yes.
Tapping you on the ass and then, you know, a young guy in his 28 slapping you on the ass. There's got to be a difference.
Yeah. There must be. I don't want to live in a world where there isn't. You have to feel different.
It's completely different. Well, just put the shoe on the other foot, even though like it doesn't bother me. I get it. But there's a complete difference between a 90-year-old woman grabbing my hand and saying, "You're so cute, honey," and a 19-year-old girl grabbing my hand and saying, "You're so cute, honey."
Right.
Yeah, different worlds.
Exactly.
Completely different worlds.
Yep.
Different reactions, different thought process.
Yeah.
Everything's changed just based on that. So I think his defense is like, hey.
It's different.
Yeah.
This isn't just about a guy doing these things. It's about an old fat guy doing these things. And we want to remind you, just look at him. Just look at our defendant here.
He's good at defense.
He's an old fat man. And who's he scaring? He's not scaring anybody. Come on. Also in the news. Remember we talked, I don't know, like on Monday or something, there were wildfires on the East Coast. We'd already had the wildfires in California, although I guess there's more of those now. And we had the wildfires over the weekend last weekend in Florida. It was so big you could see them from space. Now they had gone to the Carolinas all the way up to New Jersey. That was like days ago, so I thought by now maybe they had some of that under control. They do not. It's gotten much worse in the Carolinas.
Firefighters in the Carolinas are working around the clock, trying to get the upper hand on raging wildfires that show no signs of slowing. North Carolina's Black Cove Complex fire, now the highest priority fire in the country, with over 500 people trying to tame it. Further south across the state border, South Carolina's Table Rock and Persimmon Ridge fires are burning some 8 miles apart. The flames already scorching nearly 10 square miles. Officials urging everyone who lives between the two fires to get out.
They had a guy on the news today, and they were trying to show, which they do when there's these fires, a family who's lost something and show you their loss. And they showed this guy, they said, you know, and so-and-so, 74-year-old so-and-so, lost everything. Well, they show this house before the fire, and it's like a really huge kind of log cabin looking thing, huge cabin out in the woods. And then they show it after the fire. There's nothing left, just the foundation is sitting there. And he's doing a Zoom talking about it, and you find out in this interview that like this was just, he's not there very often because it's just a vacation home. Yeah. And I thought, there's got to be somebody whose actual house burned down. Like, if you're trying to get sympathy from the public, you don't go with the guy who's got a house that's 10 times nicer than most of our regular houses as a vacation house. You know, I just thought that was weird. But I do feel bad for these people. Apparently there's fires in California again, last I heard. So I don't know. It seems like a lot of fires. I feel like they talk about fires a lot. Maybe they're talking about fires a lot because there's not a ton of stuff to talk about. You know, there's not a lot of scandals.
You know,
the signal thing. Right? That's it. How many days can you milk that puppy? I mean, they're trying still, but what's there? Mm. You got one side says it's nothing, the other side says it's everything.
It's like everything.
That's just everything, though. Mm-hmm. We're so used to that. Is this important? That's the news we can't even get anymore. Is this important? Should I care about this? Someone please explain to me, is this worth caring about, or is this something they needed to fill a 24-hour news channel? Yeah, because you can't tell. The guy who put together, the founder of the idea of Firefest, Billy McFarland. He's the guy that went to prison after the first Firefest. Turned out to be a bit of a disappointment. People were stranded, living in FEMA tents, eating cheese sandwiches. You've seen the documentary, or maybe the documentaries. By now, he's back, and I'm sure you've heard that there's going to be a Firefest 2. And not only is there going to be a Firefest 2, it's not like he said, I'm planning on doing a Firefest 2 in 2027. You know, we're going to work with people. No, he announced it, and he was like, we're going to do this, and tickets are going to go on sale in a week, and then it's going to happen in a few months. It's already, I mean, I don't remember when he announced it. I think in February. It's happening in May, and all he'd given us was a location and ticket prices. That was it. That's all you could find out. He said, be great artists. You'll find out soon. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be the Firefest of my dreams from the first time around. Now, there was some pushback because the government officials who work in that part of Mexico said, we don't know anything about this. There's been no, you know, it was like a peninsula area where you said this thing was going to be. And they said, we haven't had any permit requests or anything. No one has told us there's going to be an event. So that made people suspicious. And tickets had gone on sale like the day before when those officials came out and said, we don't know what you're talking about. Well, now he's saying, okay, still don't have the artist. But there is some news because we're moving. We're switching locations. Still going to be in May, but we got to switch it.
There are questions about what's actually true. Last month, he claimed the festival would be held on Mexico's Isla Mujeres, only for officials there to say, as far as they knew, the event didn't exist. McFarland now says the festival will be held in Playa del Carmen 2 months from now, with room for 1,800 guests who can choose between several five-star resorts. He also claims there will be 40 musical performances, though so far the only one confirmed is controversial retired NFL player Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Okay, so wait.
1,800?
I'm going to pay you that money. And then I'm going to also pay to stay at a resort, so I'll pay for a resort.
Well, is that a choice?
Is that included But in the ticket price, I mean, if the tickets were already on sale, they weren't originally selling tickets and saying you get to stay accommodations at this resort.
I think the ones that are paying, like the ones that were for sale, were a lot.
Okay. Well, yeah, for sure. Right. I mean, there were very expensive ones. I think the cheapest ones, they said, were $400, and then they went up to like, I don't remember. It was a lot. Thousands and thousands of dollars. So he had this press conference yesterday it was in Playa del Carmen. You ever been to Playa del Carmen? I think I've been to Playa del Carmen. And he insisted that everything is going to be above board for the sequel. There's not going to be any, you know, infamous incidents this time around. He said, quote, "You guys have no idea the ridicule, the threats, the questions these partners have received on literally an hourly basis." Well, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You still have the first one was the first one. They made two documentaries about it at the same time. Now you're doing it again right after you got out of prison. You've got no artists.
It's $1,800 or 1,800 people. 1,800, not 18,000.
Oh, is that what they said? 1,800 people?
1,800 if you listen to that again.
But that's just, is that how many places there are to stay down there?
Officials there to say, as far as they knew, the event didn't exist. McFarland now says the festival will be held in Playa del Carmen 2 months from now, with room for 1,800 guests who can choose between several five-star resorts.
Yeah.
He also claims there.
So I took that as like guests that want to stay here at the spot.
There's room for 1,800 guests.
Yeah, there's 1,800 available rooms, huh?
Doesn't say there's more.
No, I'm saying I guess I took that as there will be room for 1,800 people to stay here for this festival between these hotels that are right here.
Say there's more.
Yeah, I don't know.
My thought was the way they said it made sense to me was they're going to do 1,800 people. It's going to be really expensive, and there's going to be 40 acts.
So
you stay at 5-star resorts, and the ticket price is going to be massive.
So that's it. So it'll just be 1,800 people total, and that's all we're trying to get to.
If you
get to 1,800 people, then
they said they're going to do another show with room 4.
Yeah.
Doesn't say like room 4, 20,000 people plus 1,800 VIP suites that are going to be able to stay in this resort area. It doesn't say that.
Yeah, I don't know. They've changed. Let me see. They changed the website from last time I was on here. I did look the day that they put the tickets on sale. We went and looked at them, and I remember at the time that the cheapest tickets were $400, and then they went up from there. Now their website has changed a little bit, but I've still got a landing page here that says I can buy tickets, and it says they've got different names. Fire Ignite, that's $1,400. There's Fire Fuego, that's $5,000. Fire Phoenix is $25,000, and Prometheus God of Fire is $1.1 million.
Okay.
So there you go. And if you just search Fire Fest tickets, you can look that up and see what you get. I'm curious how many people have spent the $1.1 million. Like, if you were a really, really obnoxiously rich kid, would you just go ahead and do this?
No.
Just take a chance and buy it? I don't think even that person would.
No.
I can't imagine. You need to announce something. You need to announce an artist.
Well, you got AB.
Show some. You've got AB. You've got AB. That doesn't seem great.
That's something.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo! What's up, Ken?
We're finishing the news.
All right,
the Vances are in Greenland.
Oh, yeah.
Greenland. And Trump, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but because the Vances are visiting, there's been a lot of media coverage and talk again about Greenland becoming part of the United States. Mm-hmm. And Trump says, look, we've got to have it. There's just no two ways about it. If the world wants to be safe, then we have to have...
We need Greenland for national security and international security, so I think we'll go as far as we have to go. The world needs us to have Greenland, including Denmark. Denmark has to have us have Greenland. If we don't have Greenland, we can't have great international security.
Trump has repeatedly raised the possibility of purchasing Greenland or taking it over, quote, one way or the other. The Danish Prime Minister firing back, saying Greenland belongs to Greenlanders. We are not for sale, and calling today's visit by the Vice President highly aggressive.
There you go. So okay. The Danish Prime Minister says not for sale. The Prime Minister of Greenland says this whole trip, you know, we didn't invite you. And this feels a little aggressive that you're just showing up here because we didn't invite you. Now, I told you yesterday, but the Vances weren't going to one of these big cities. They're going up to this U.S. Space Force base that's already there. So, you know, I don't know why it's so aggressive. If you've already got stuff up there, just going up there to check on our stuff. But look, if Trump says he wants something, he's going to get it. He says, we'll get it one way or the other. We offered to buy it from you. If you don't sell it, then we'll get it one way or the other. Well, that, to me, is a good time to go ahead and take the money on the table.
Let's see what J.D. Vance said. He says he does not think that the military force is ever going to be necessary. He doesn't think it's ever going to be necessary to take control of Greenland. He said that at a speech in Greenland.
Right.
He said the U.S. has no other option but to take a significant position in Greenland to keep the people here safe and to keep our own country safe. Why do we need Greenland to be safe?
Because apparently it's strategically located in a spot where we can keep an eye on nukes coming from China and Russia. Also, though, we need it because it's got a bunch of expensive stuff.
Minerals.
Oil and minerals and all that good stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
Natural gas. He said Greenland's extremely vulnerable.
Yeah, they're sitting out
here.
Danish Kingdom can't offer them the kind of security they need, and we can't offer Denmark the kind of security they need, if they're being honest, if we don't have Greenland. We'll offer you cash. If you don't take the cash, we'll take it one way or the other. It probably doesn't mean military. Man, I guess it could. But, you know, they can trace sanctions and all those things. Maybe they'll stop selling Danish goods here in the United States. The Danes wouldn't like that.
They went to a dog sled race. Oh, that was scrapped.
It looked like
the original plans for the visit, which involved Usha Vance attending a dog sled race, were scrapped amid backlash from Greenlanders.
Well, they knew that they were getting the backlash before they ever went.
Government, without going, Prime Minister Mute Egad, and he's the one who said it was clear provocation.
Yeah, very aggressive. Marvin Sapp, he is a minister at a very big church in the Dallas area, Fort Worth, actually. And there's a clip of him that has made the rounds online where he is, people are saying, you know, look, this minister is holding his parishioners hostage while he tries to get money from them. And the clip does certainly, you know, kind of sound like that. He keeps saying pretty aggressively to close the doors, we're not leaving until we get this money.
1,000 of you, I said close them doors. Ushers, close the doors. Close the doors. We all going to leave together. Y'all ain't going no place but to the restaurant. There's 1,000 of you tonight, and those that are watching, it's 1,000 that's watching online. This is a small seed. If I get 1,000 online to give this, if I get 1,000 in the sanctuary to give this, that's $40,000 tonight.
So,
yeah, good for him.
So,
he did the math, right?
Close the doors, close the doors, close the doors. We're all going to leave together. You're not going anywhere but the restaurant anyway. Yeah, we used to go out to eat after church on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. You talk about Old Country Buffet where your grandmother died. I was only ever there right after church.
At the Old Country Buffet?
Yeah. Any of those types of places. Oh, yeah, well, that was one of our favorites. It was always filled with church people. There's those restaurants that I associate with crowds of church people. There was a place we used to go called like Joe's Barn that I really liked too. Man, it was something. You would have liked it last
night.
It was a real fancy buffet.
Good. Joe's Barn.
Yeah, where they cut the prime rib for you and everything.
Well, right there.
Yeah.
Huh?
You walk in, they always had a whole pig with an apple in its mouth, like in the cartoons, just ready to go.
Was it a customer?
No. No. It was an animal.
It was tell the difference?
It was there for eating. Yes, you could. You could. I don't remember the clientele. Like, I think they're all in their Sunday best. I never went there any other time. But this minister, Marvin, he wants people to know, look, he's now responded to this because there's been a lot of outrage online from people who said, hey, this guy held his parishioners hostage. He said, I didn't hold anybody hostage. He said, you need context. In this day and age with social media, you know, people can just share clips and you don't understand it. Maybe you're unfamiliar. He says, to those unfamiliar with church context, this has been misrepresented as holding people hostage. That was never my intent. He explained that financial giving is one of the most sensitive and security-conscious moments in worship services. You got a lot of money. You're talking about $40,000 that you're trying to raise, right?
Sure.
Distractions or movement can cause issues for both givers and finance teams.
Yeah.
His directive, he said, was about creating a safe focused,
sure,
and reverent environment.
Yeah,
that's what he wanted to do. He emphasized that conferences, they were supposed to be hosting some sort of big conference, and it was going to cost a bunch of money. And he emphasized that conferences operate with budgets and that his role included helping to meet those financial goals. He's just looking for $20 from people, and then from the higher ups to give $100. And he said, "By the way, I gave a lot more than that."
No,
I asked the big wigs to give $100. I gave way more than $100, but all I was asking for from everyone else was $20.
No, can't
come up with $20. I mean, if you're out there at that church that day, I got to assume most of those people know that they're going to be asked to give money, and $20. They'd probably give $20, right? I don't know if he got the $40,000 or not, but I do know he wrote about a 10-page-long thing on social media that's now being printed in these news websites. And I just thought it was funny because, look, I get how it's sort of funny that he says, close the doors. But did anyone, especially people who like this guy and they're at his church, did any of those people actually feel nervous in that moment? Now, you might feel like a social pressure to not leave,
sure,
but so what? You felt that before he said, close the doors.
Yeah,
did
sure.
you not? So did anyone actually think that they were being held hostage? Did anyone get up and try to leave and the doors were locked?
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, they didn't say that anybody did.
No, you're right.
So,
you're right.
You know, that's
a fair point.
that would be a real issue if people tried
to
leave.
You couldn't.
And they were locked in there.
He now said, you can't leave.
Except he didn't actually say that.
$40,000.
And they're
like, man, we didn't get that. And he's like, now you can't leave.
Right. If he'd said that, you know. But he just said close the doors.
Basically said, now you can't leave.
Close the doors. Well, he says the close the doors is to keep people safe. Someone doesn't try and run in there and steal a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all this money's being passed around. It's a serious, serious time, Lazo. It's the most, what do they call it? Security heavy, conscious, whatever time,
sure,
of the worship.
In the
it's a
world.
Lot of money.
Ever.
In the world, yes. And in Florida, they've got a problem.
Whoa, no.
And that problem is not export. That problem is labor. They've deported a lot of immigrants,
mm-hmm,
and thus they've lost a lot of laborers, and they've got a lot of jobs that they need filled. So what do you do in a situation like that? Do you ask people from other parts of the country to move to Florida? Hey, move to Florida. We got lots of jobs. No, they're not doing that. Instead, what they're doing is they've decided what we could do is lift some of these child labor laws. Why don't we just get rid of some of those? I know it sounds comical to some, but this thing has already moved forward and passed some other part of their state senate. They're just trying to get kids back to work and fill these jobs.
The teenagers soon replaced deported migrants in our workforce. A Senate bill that narrowly advanced in the legislature aims to ease child labor laws, allowing minors to work more hours. The governor thinks it could fill positions left vacant by having fewer undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, perfect.
Teenagers.
Yeah, put kids to work.
Filling jobs of deported migrants. That should be on their sign when you drive into Florida. Florida! And, you know, if you're a teenager, you know, come for the sun, but if you're a teenager, you stay for the work. Because
yeah,
you're not going to be able to work like this
what
in any
kind of
other
work
state.
Is it?
They never said any of these things, what the specific jobs are.
Yeah.
They just said that there's a lot of
like
jobs.
A job in Florida, I feel like. Lifeguard.
Right. Are you getting oranges? Is that like...
Well, I don't want to do that. That sounds
well,
hard.
What do these migrants do? Because they're migrant jobs.
We'll work at the batting cages. You go there a lot when we go to Florida.
Right, but were migrants doing that?
Go-kart places. I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Maybe they were.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I wish they would say. I never saw an example in one of these. They just said that there's a lot of jobs left vacant by these deported migrants, and so... You know, we're thinking we'll just roll back some of
people
these.
People do make a good point.
Labor laws.
I mean, do you really think? I mean, look, I'm not the guy who says like, Gen Z, screw them, they're soft or whatever. I'm not that guy. They're just different, right? Well, I don't know if they're going to go out in mass force and pick oranges for minimum wage.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't.
I would not
I
think so.
I don't see it.
That's why I don't understand. The teens already have their jobs. Working at the ice cream place, the lifeguard, like you said.
I mean, I don't... Yeah.
Working at Sonic. Those teenage jobs, they already have, I feel
yeah.
like. So what are these migrant jobs that the teenagers are going to be like, yes, now that I can work a full shift, 7 days a week. Now I'll take it. The problem was before, the reason I'm not taking that job, you won't let me work enough hours.
Right.
I would pick oranges for $5 an hour, but you got to let me work.
Yeah.
At least 80 hours a week.
I mean, I love you, Gen Z.
Yeah.
I just, you know,
it seems
I don't see you out there, you know, I don't even know what they grow in Florida, but picking lemons all day. That might be California, but you get my point.
Yes.
Mangoes.
What? Sure. Maybe mangoes. They're the orange. They're the orange state, right? I mean, they're not, but man, maybe they are actually.
I think they are,
They definitely have oranges everywhere and lots of orange juice. So someone's got to pick those damn things. And if we've deported the
people, I just don't think it's going to be a bunch of 15-year-olds.
That seems hard to believe.
The Church of Laszlo.
All right, so tell me about what happened with your gambling thing.
So baseball has started.
Okay, right.
I haven't bet on sports since NFL season.
Sure.
And I don't even know when it was.
Neither have I.
So I stopped betting for maybe like a year, and then it was actually, we were at an all-staff meeting last fall, and I was like, you know, I'll see if they give you free money again. And one of them did, and I took it. And I managed to, I make small bets, but I managed to, with that money that they gave me, I was able to kind of make bets for most of the NFL season. I ran out of money eventually, but I was able to make bets for most of the NFL season. So then I decided yesterday, for the first time in a really long time, you know what, I want to bet some baseball. I'm going to put money in my account. Again, not very much money, but I'm going to put money in there. So I added money to my account. You were here. And we were talking about baseball, and there was a game that was to be played after we left work last night, and that was the Tigers
Dodgers.
And the Dodgers.
Right.
So I did the thing that I've done many times when betting baseball. I went through and I found the teams, you know, by runs. They're going to win. So
he does this every time, and it works, really.
Sort of. It's kind of dumb because you basically have to on one of the longer odds ones. You got to hit one of those.
Yeah, but
to
if
make
not, you
decent
money. Your money back.
But I can try and basically cover myself. So I bet the Tigers by one, Tigers by two, Tigers by three, and then Tigers by four or more. I bet the Dodgers by one, the Dodgers by two, Dodgers by three, Dodgers by four or more. So now I've covered all those bases, no pun intended.
Right, so and as long as nobody wins by five. Or no, it should cover that. Right,
the thing is, there are ways where I will lose like a small amount of money, but most of the wins would at least...
Because your bet is more than, say, the Dodgers by one.
Right.
So if you bet $50 total, then the Dodgers by one would pay you $40 back. So you'd lose $10 on the bet. But that's really the most you can
lose. Each one has its own odds. So each thing will pay me more or less. If I made I can't make the same bet.
But if the Tigers were to win by four, you would win a bunch of money.
Right. But if I were to make the same bet on each one, then so you actually, in order to cover those bases a little bit, you give less money to the longer odds ones because you gotta, you know.
Sure.
So that way if you win, hopefully it covers it. So that's what I did. Okay? And I'm watching, you know, updates. I'm checking the score. I don't remember what I was doing. And then actually, I think, Laszlo, you texted me when the game was over.
Yeah, I was like,
and
hey.
And you said, hey.
Because I remember you saying, I won't get all my money back if the Dodgers win by one, but I'll be close.
Yeah, Dodgers.
That was the worst thing that could happen.
Dodgers by one was decent, though. You know, it was still, I think, I want to say it was like maybe 6-1 odds, something like that. But like I said, you try to
cover everything,
figure out how much money you're going to place on each bet based on the odds that they're giving you.
As a gambler would say, he's trying to hedge before he even bets. He's hedging his bets before his bets.
And I like to put a little bit of extra money on some of those longer odds ones so that maybe if I win, I will win like $10. It's really stupid. It's a way to basically try and keep some money in my account and just keep going
really
and going.
It's stupid, though, because if you get like an underdog that you've bet to win by five, you can make good money.
Except that I'm giving those bets less money so that I can hedge my bet.
More than you're winning.
Yes, slightly. Yes, slightly. So I'm like, okay.
Or spending, I guess.
Dodgers by one. That's great because I obviously bet that. So I went to see, let's see how much I covered here. Because the Dodgers, I figured, could easily win by one or two runs. I actually put a little bit of extra money on there knowing that this could mean that I end up losing money. But that's fine. It's gambling. That's the whole point. I opened my app. It is the same app. I'm not using the app's name. But it is the same app that the gentleman in Chicago was using that we talked about yesterday, who had what he thought won $289,000, only to find out after the game was over that they had closed his bet. They claim they closed it before tip-off, but you know, I don't know. There's no way for him to know, I guess. He just has to take their word because he opened the app after the game and went, wait, so you took my bet, but then later you didn't take my bet? Same thing apparently happened to another guy in Virginia because he reached out to the guy in Chicago. That guy had won over $200,000, I want to say, on women's soccer. And he fought and fought. They eventually offered to give him his original bet back, and then I think eventually they gave him his money. Last night, I opened the app, and I kid you not, and why am I using this app that we just talked about, these guys not getting their money from, the app that Laszlo said he had a hard time getting his winnings out of when he did win?
The same app I won, it was, I mean, it wasn't $200,000. It was a substantial amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, it's a,
it was a win.
More than a mortgage payment.
It was a lot.
And I went to draw it out, and they wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? So, and then it said, oh, your Venmo name doesn't match your this app name.
Yeah.
I'm like, who cares? Like, why would that matter? You took the money. Like, when I put it in, you didn't say your name didn't match.
Something fishier. No.
Right.
They'll take
They're
starting
to take it. And then they actually sent me, like, a note, which I showed Slim, and it said something to the effect of, like, when we think people, when they put their money in, they're going to keep it in for a while.
Yeah.
And enjoy our service or something. Like, and keep, I'm like, what? Just give me my money. So I had to go to this chat thing and talk to this lady. Eventually, they did give me my money back. But,
well,
I mean,
if you recall, after you had that happen with that app, I had the same thing happen. But I was kind of I wasn't as shocked because it had happened to you. So I tried to withdraw money. They said I couldn't. And I was like, what? But I just waited, tried it the next day, couldn't. But then I want to say it was literally like, you know, 2 days after I'd won the money, there was no problem taking it out. And I thought that maybe you had told me or we'd read somewhere, or maybe I'd even seen anything that you needed to leave it if you won in your account for at least 24 hours, whatever it was. So I just waited, and eventually I was able to get the money out. Last night, when I go to check my app, I open it up, and there's a notification. First thing when I get logged in, Face ID, boom, there's a notification in front of the screen. And it says, hey, one of your bets was closed.
No.
Can you guess which bet was closed?
The winning one.
Dodgers by one.
No.
That bet was closed.
Hold on a second. So they closed a bet.
Mm-hmm.
They took the money. You put it in there. Mm-hmm. They took the money on all the bets, and they were like, good, here's your bets.
Mm-hmm.
You close the app, you watch the game, do whatever. You're like, cool, I won, Dodgers by one. I know I lost these other four bets,
mm-hmm.
but I won this Dodgers by one, so I should only be down like 10 bucks or something, right?
Whatever it was, yeah.
Right. And then you go click on it, and they're like, hey, we closed this one bet.
That's it.
Which was your winning bet, but they did not close any of the losing bets?
No, they did not. So I lost all the other money.
Now, why?
So here's the other thing.
Why
I'm
would
looking
they
at
close
it.
The Dodgers by one?
I'm looking at it, and my options in that moment, the only clickable thing I can see is close, which will bring that pop-up window down and take me back to the app.
Right.
But I want some sort of explanation. It just says one of your bets was closed. I should have taken a screenshot of it, but there was nothing there. It just said, one of your bets was closed. And then it says, you know, see the slip or whatever. And below it said, Los Angeles Dodgers by one. And then it showed what the odds were or whatever. And that bet had been closed. No explanation given. So I'm also kind of thinking like, well, when I hit close, will there be something? Can I look in the bet slip and will it give me? No. All I could see after I hit close.
People are guessing. We're not going to tell you, but it's not DraftKings. Everybody says it's DraftKings. It's not DraftKings.
No. I tried looking for an explanation. When I go to my bet slip, it shows all the bets that I lost. All that money's gone. There's no mention of the fact that I tried to bet. It doesn't say, like, this bet was later closed because, you know, you placed the bet and we took your money originally, but then we closed it at whatever time.
And
it doesn't say that.
When you go back and look at your old bets.
Uh-huh. It's not on there.
None of it?
That bet's not on there.
What?
It doesn't show that bet. It only shows the other bets.
Did you talk to someone?
So I went on a chat thing. And it says, you know, what do you need? What's up? So you chat with it. Mm-hmm. And I tried talking to it. And then eventually it's like, poof, okay, we're going to need a real person. I'm like, well, yeah. So then they're like, you know, we need your account information again. Okay, so I get the account information. I wait and wait and wait. Then somebody, supposedly a person, comes up. I explain again what happened. Hey, I made all these bets, including this one. When I open the app, it says it was closed. It was like, hold on, you know, let me take a look at this. See if I can figure this out. While I'm waiting for that, the app logs me out. And so when I log back in with Face ID and I scroll back over, okay, my account chat, none of that's there. It was gone. So I'm going to have to start over, and I'm thinking they're just going to win because it wasn't that much money. I just won't bet with them anymore. It kind of feels like that.
But I can't
Bronx
believe,
tale.
Like I know, like it's worth it.
Just cost me this much
but
to learn to never use it again.
I can't believe that they would be doing this on purpose. I mean, it's they win.
It's illegal.
They don't have to steal. But again,
there's no
I don't
way.
Know how much you bet, but let's just say $500.
Yeah.
They don't have to steal $500 to make a ton of money. They're like gambling.
There's some issue, and that's why I don't want to say their name. I would say their name, except, first of all, I'm sure they have very good lawyers, but also I'm afraid that they would come back and say, hey, Dip S., here's why we closed it. Here's what you did wrong. But, man, you took it. Honest to God, what would have been better is if they would have just acted like I never made that bet. Because if they had, I would have looked at my bet slip and gone, because that's happened many times. I go, yay. And then I open it. Now I'm starting to wonder. But I go, yay. Open it up and I go, oh, I didn't make that one. Oh, my God, I forgot to make that bet.
But it's not so then a small company.
No, it is not.
I just can't believe
it. But if you did this on a grand scale, you know, it made sense that you want to put up a fight for the $300,000 payout, the $215,000 payout. We all think, like, that must be why they're fighting it, because it's such a big payout. And maybe it is. I don't know. But if it were actually a thing that they did, closing bets, because suddenly, like, you know what's going to happen here. And they did it on a grand scale, even with really small bets like mine, they'd make a lot of money. I'm not saying that that's what they're doing. I'm just saying I don't know what the explanation is.
And I know
is.
They make a lot more money if they did that. It's just like they say, casinos make a ton of money on people not cashing out their tickets.
Exactly.
With 17 cents
exactly.
left in it.
Or right.
They're like, oh, screw it. It's 40
$2
cents and they leave.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they make a ton of money on it, but not at the cost. Like, yes, they make more money if they steal your money.
Right.
But not at the cost of getting in trouble. And it's not like if they didn't steal your money, they still wouldn't be making a ton of money.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
Yes, and I would still be... I wouldn't have even mentioned this to you had it not been for those stories. Even though you've had trouble getting your money out, I wouldn't have brought it up because I would have, again, just thought, I'm confused. What did I read wrong? But the fact that I just read those stories about those other two guys, and then it gave me the notification that says one bet was closed, and I see the one bet, and it's the winning bet, and none of the other bets were closed. Why was that bet closed? There's no explanation.
Yeah,
it just seems awfully coincidental, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, yeah. And the fact that it wasn't a crazy bet or anything.
No.
They're like, we had the wrong odds
it was
printed
a small
or whatever.
Bet.
Not only that, it can't be that the odds, we had the wrong odds out there.
It wasn't a parlay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It was just the Dodgers win by one.
That's it.
That's not, like that. The one run doesn't change.
No, it doesn't. So
they can't be like, well, we just thought crazy that someone would take the Dodgers by one. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
there's no way. So and by the way, who do you contact? I mean, I have friends that if this happened to them, even over this very small amount of money, they would contact someone, an attorney general, the gaming board, whatever. I'm not going to do anything. They know I'm not going to do anything. They look at my account and they know I'm not going to do anything.
Post your story on Reddit.
No, because if I do. And I mean, like, I could post under a screen name or whatever, I suppose. But I'm scared to death of a company that big, a big gambling company coming after me. It happened until they say it didn't. I'm like, prove it. I'm like, well, you know what I mean?
Well,
I can't even find that bet mentioned now. That's what I'm saying. The only if they had just acted like it never happened and not given me the notification about the closed bet, I would have believed them. I would have gone, ah, damn it. Because I've done that many times before, at least I think I have. I know I've opened it many times and gone, oh, I thought I made that bet. I guess I didn't. Which is smart, too, if betting apps
would
do that.
Smarter, sure.
But this gave me a notification. It said one closed bet. And the one that was closed out of these eight bets around.
You should post it on Reddit. Post it on a Reddit gambling site. I bet you that company has its own Reddit.
I'm sure. It's a big company.
Go and tell them.
Yeah. And see what happens. Well, I got to chat with them first and get through that.
Right.
And see what they say. I'd like some sort of explanation there to see, because I could have easily done something wrong, right? I'm not a smart sports bettor.
Right.
I don't know how this stuff works, but I do know you sent me a notification that said one bet was closed.
Right. If it was closed, then
and
I
it was the winning bet.
The Church of Laszlo.
So, hallucinations. That's the thing that happens with AI sometimes, where it just says stuff that and the programmers themselves aren't sure why it happens, at least last I read.
I had a problem with mine this morning. I was like, God damn it. I started yelling at it.
What happened?
I said, hey, what's going on in the world? Do my show prep. So it just kind of, I gave it a prompt like before so it remembers.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll say like, hey, this is what people are talking about on TikTok, so I don't really look at TikTok. So there's anything that catches my eye. Here's what people are talking about on Reddit. It's just, you know, a couple things with links, right? Like, but here's what I'd like to know when I wake up in the morning. And it said a ship crashed into a bridge in Baltimore.
Oh, no.
I was like, in my head, I'm like, again?
That was a big story a while ago.
Right, and it did, so it did like two of those, like all these were, I'm like, yo, what year do you think it is? And then it paused. I'm like, are you drunk? I literally said, are you drunk? Mm-hmm. And it was like, yo, excuse me. My ChatGPT likes me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still in there. It said,
it's very friendly. I know Brooks had, hers has apologized to her many times.
Oh, mine said, no, I'm not drunk, but I'm glitching out like something at a bar in Blade Runner or something.
Okay.
It said, give me a minute. And then it kicked out this other thing. I'm like, you're in the wrong year, man.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, excuse me. And then it went to today.
It's crazy. I mean, last I read, at least, they said that it's still a mystery. The hallucinations, at least, are still a mystery. I don't know if that counts as a hallucination or not. I know that they count things where it just seems to make something up and say that it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be an example of that, with the story I'm about to tell you. But this guy in Norway was looking himself up. Now, in the articles that I read, the articles really just focus on this lawsuit. There's an article in Forbes about it right now, talking about how this man is suing ChatGPT. And it talks about the inaccurate results and how inaccurate results have been a problem in the past. And here they are, a problem once again. And there's a company that, you know, it's like a privacy company. Remember when we talked to that woman from Firefox?
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
And, or Mozilla?
Yeah.
And their whole thing is privacy. Well, there's another company like that. And apparently this other company, it's called None of Your Business, N-O-Y-B. And they apparently take on lawsuits like this. And so it sounds like suing ChatGPT for him. But he was trying to search information about himself, and he found that ChatGPT was saying that this was a guy who had murdered his own children.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, I wanted more details, but I did eventually find a video where someone was able to interview this guy on one of the news outlets. They got him on Zoom or whatever, and they were able to interview him. And when they interviewed him, I saw a screenshot of the actual result, which is what I really wanted, because I couldn't find a screenshot. Right, I want to know exactly what ChatGPT said. So this guy's name, like I said, he's in Norway. His name's Arva, I guess how you say it. And it gives his whole name, Arva, whatever, Holman, is a Norwegian individual who gained attention due to a tragic event. He was the father of two young boys, age 7 and 10. They were tragically found dead in a pond near their home in whatever Norway in December of 2020. Arva Holman was accused and later convicted of murdering his two sons, as well as for the attempted murder of his third son. The case shocked the local community and the nation, and it is widely covered and was widely covered in the media due to its tragic nature. Holman was sentenced to 21 years in prison, which is the maximum penalty in Norway. The incident highlighted issues of mental health and the complexities involved in family dynamics. So, I mean, this thing really goes into detail about killed his kids. It was quite the news story, huge news story. He did time, got the maximum in Norway, which is 21 years, can you believe, sort of thing. That's what ChatGPT said about this guy. Now, that's not true, but he does have sons. And it, like, got the age ranges right.
Okay.
But he never killed his kids, and I guess he doesn't like the idea that someone could go on there. Now, I don't know why they would be searching for Arva Holman's biography.
That if someone else typed it in, that it would give the same thing.
No, definitely not. He's just saying
that. You can ask it the same questions,
and get different answers.
It will give you different answers.
Uh-huh. Like, it's hard to get the same answer a lot of times, unless it's something really kind of black and white. It can be hard to get the same answers. But just asking, he said that in the past when he tried to ask ChatGPT about him, it acted like it didn't know. Or it would give someone in a neighboring town that had a name that was similar, but it just mostly acted like it didn't know. That's what he was saying in this interview that I watched. But then he says when it did, you know, supposedly figure out who he was and say, oh yeah, here's the guy, got the first, middle, and last name, here's a town he lives in, got all that right, he's got kids, got all that right. Yeah, He went to prison for 21 years for murdering those kids, and it was a widely televised
public. Told me that Arvi Al-Maholman was a man who killed two of his three children, tried to kill his third child as well, and tried to drown them in a pond, I think, in Trondheim. Trondheim is the city where I was born. I have three sons. Wow.
Yeah, so he says he was shocked by what he found, because that's like, you know, in the bio, which is why I said when you search for yourself, maybe you need to look up biography, because he said that it was in his bio about who he was. I would like to know the prompt, and it's not saying that he was able to get it again. I don't know if he was or he wasn't. Like, if he typed in his name again and said, tell me a biography about me, if it would say that he killed his kids again, right, or if it was just that one time. I kind of assume it was just that one time. But it did say, so if someone else had done it, I guess, I actually don't know, because the way AI works. But if someone else, presumably if someone else had searched, who is this guy, give me the bio of this guy, at the exact same time that he did, maybe you would have gotten this response from ChatGPT. I mean, they did have, in the thing that I watched, they did have the English version of it, and it didn't look like they just translated it. It looked like they'd gone to ChatGPT and gotten this. So maybe you were able to pull it up on ChatGPT for a while, and like, hey, now ChatGPT apparently has run into this problem before, where maybe it'll say somebody's dead who's not dead, or I guess, you know, somebody's murdered, whatever. But it gets stuff wrong. And there have been other complaints lodged against ChatGPT or OpenAI, which is the parent company, and OpenAI has said, look, we can't always fix this stuff. We're sorry. What we can do is block it, but we can't necessarily fix it. That's what they said in the past. And the companies are saying, like, well, you know, we don't love that, but okay, then at least block it. My thing is, like, I guess if we know, as long as we all are aware that OpenAI, if you look up your, hey, I'm dating this new person, tell me everything there is to know about this person. If it says, hey, this person murdered their children and went to prison for 50 years, then go ahead and well, you know, maybe to double check.
I mean, mine just gives me a list of things that it pulled off the internet. You know what I mean? When I put my name in there, like, what do you know? And it's like,
it's that stuff that's publicly available.
A financial advisor with Edward Jones. A director of marketing at Reed Hildebrand. And it says, if you're seeking information about a specific dude,
yeah,
let me know.
Yeah. It sounded like he was having trouble. There wasn't much about him. If I understood him right in his interview, it sounded like the first few times he'd tried doing this, he was getting other people, or there just wasn't much about him, if anything. And then he gets this information. Now, the public figures are obviously easier for AI to figure out because they're public figures. There's information about them online. But they do give, AI has given, or OpenAI has given, incorrect birth dates. And like I said, maybe saying that somebody's dead, things like that. And that's when someone, one of these execs at OpenAI said, hey, we really can't correct that. The only thing we can do is block it. So the false information is going to remain in the system. And I assume that means, because I could write something, I could write a blog and say that Lazo murdered his kids, sure, and post that blog. And if OpenAI is searching through that blog for information, they're going to be, oh, this is the information. And if you tell the guys at OpenAI, hey, get rid of that, they go, we don't know where it is. Right? We can't. We all we can do is block
it. Source. Like, so I just put my thing in and said, what do you know about me? And then gave my the
true,
city I was
usually
born.
Does give you sources.
And it goes all the way down. It tells me it's what high school I graduated from. And at the end, it says sources, academic dictionaries, and encyclopedias, and you can click it.
Like, if you go to Wikipedia, when there's a fact,
right, so just taking a quick look, it's going like, oh, Wikipedia, here's his name, there's that. Oh, this is it. And then it just grabs them, puts them all together. And then, but underneath it, it sources it every time. So I get mad sometimes because I'm like, quit sourcing it. And I'll say, now in your words.
Yeah.
And then it'll just talk to you. But if you just ask it a question like, who is SlimFast? It just grabs from the web.
Right.
But
yeah,
then you have to, you know, at least with ChatGPT, if you say, who is SlimFast in your words, and then it'll be like, well, this is what I know about him.
Yeah, I would really like to know the prompt, but they didn't give me the prompt that he put in specifically that I've seen anywhere. It sounds like one of the things that this privacy company is saying, though, is like, this could be, there could be real reputational damage. If you were applying for a job and the company wanted to look you up a little bit more than they already do, because right now they rely on calling someone, an old boss or whatever it is. Now, and maybe they might be able to check public records in your state to see if you've been arrested. Now, maybe they could start going to AI and asking AI, hey, what do you know about this candidate that's wanting to work at our company? And if it says, like, you know, this person murdered someone or tried to murder someone or whatever, that it can do real reputational damage. That's their thing. And I can't really argue that. I mean, saying that I'm a murderer and getting the other stuff right makes it worse too if I didn't have kids or if my, you know what I mean? But the fact that it said he has these kids and he killed two of them and this is where he lives. So it's getting stuff right, except the really important part there where it calls him a double murderer. A murder of his own children.
Well, that
has
to be written somewhere.
Right. Where did that come from? How does it happen? And they're acting like we don't know. We don't know. We can't get rid of it. We can try and block it. So I guess if you're listening and you haven't checked, just ask AI to give a bio on you and make sure that it's not calling you a murderer, especially if you're job hunting or, you know, single, trying to meet somebody.
The Church of Laszlo.
Khadiv Bye-Bye Balboni, that's my guy. I need a Balboni jersey.
I'm sure that can be arranged. The greatest Royals players of all time. All time. Now, from every player that you've seen up to this point, who do you think will go down in history as the greatest Royals player of all time? Like 20 years from now, if you had to make a guess based on everyone you've seen, who will be the greatest Royal of all time?
Excluding Steve Bye-Bye Balboni, I mean...
You don't have to exclude him.
Well.
But let's exclude him.
I mean, I think, Bobby Wood Jr.'s clearly got a shot at it, but he, sure. He hasn't been doing it nearly as long as George Brett, so...
Right.
You know, the three right now, you probably got... And then, you know, just say Bobby could be there.
Mm-hmm.
George, Sal, Brett.
So, to me, the debate that I hear people have is between Sal and Brett. Brett's got amazing numbers. Mm-hmm. In order to understand the argument for Sal, you kind of have to, I don't know if you have to have been there and seen it, but there it has to be explained a little bit. It's not just the stats. It's what he did for the team, the fact that...
Sure, also catchers should be held to a different standard.
That too.
There's different things. They call games. They, you know, control the game. There's a lot more that goes into it.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to go through all 100 greatest or however long this list was. They did a full list. I'm just going to do the top ones. I'm going to start with one of my all-time favorites, and that's why I'm starting here. Mike Sweeney, 1995-2007.
Okay.
You know, we're all...
What number is he?
He's number 13.
Okay.
We're getting up there. Not... Look, I like Mike Sweeney, but the Royals have gone through some very long, dry stretches. And when you look at these lists,
he would not be in my top 15.
Well, he wouldn't be on most teams' top 20s. I don't think
he'd be
or
on
at least
most.
A lot of teams' top 20s.
I mean, I'm just in my head. I'm just going.
He was like,
it. I mean,
he was our guy for a while.
Bo Jackson, Lorenzo Cain, Alex Gordon.
Well, you know, we're
not even talking old guys. Frank White, Hal McCray, Randy Wilson. Like, I'm already past Mike Sweeney, and I haven't even thought about it yet.
We're only at 13. 12 is Greinke.
Mm-hmm.
2004 to 2010. Then you've got Dennis Leonard, 1974 to 1986, before my time. Number 10, Beltran.
Okay, yeah.
1998-2004.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to remember, guys, they had number 10. Quisenberry, number 9 on the list.
Okay.
Didn't you say Dan Quisenberry earlier?
Did.
Yeah, number 9. One of your all-time favorites, I know, Willie Wilson, number 8, 1976 to 1990. Hal McCray, you mentioned.
Yep.
I like his son, Brian McCray, too.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up watching him play. 1973 to 1987. Hal and Brian both had a really interesting batting stance. They really stuck their asses way out.
Yeah, right?
I don't know. I mean, there's other guys that do that, but you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like way out there.
Yep.
I don't see guys do that anymore.
No, they don't.
Is that like they change how they train kids to play?
To hit, yeah.
So there's just... No one saying, like, hey, try sticking your ass way out in the air and swinging it around. Like, that's not a thing.
I don't think it's a thing.
Because someone told Hal McCray, or Hal McCray did it, and it worked for him.
Nobody stopped him, right.
Right, nobody stopped him, and it looked like his kid did it. So
he probably taught his kid.
Yeah, so, you know, why doesn't somebody say, hey, you know what, you're not great. Try sticking your ass out. I'm just surprised that, because they weren't the only ones. I did see other people do it. Hal McCray's number 7. Number 6, Frank White.
Mm-hmm.
1973 to 1990. You think that's fair?
Yeah, of course.
Number 6. 1984 to 1991. I mentioned him earlier.
Who?
Sabrehagen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I said. I said he was in my top three.
Okay. You got to put him
I said George, Brett, Sound, and Brett. Brett Sabrehagen.
Amos Otis, 1970
there you go.
To 1983. And then Kevin Apier, 89 to 99.
Sure.
Oh, and don't forget 03 to 04 as well. And who do you think they have as the greatest player of all time?
George Brett.
George Brett, yes. 1973 to 1993. You know, that's a good question. Where is Sal? And I wonder, like, are they waiting for these guys to retire? Let's see. Salvador. Boy, Laszlo. Yeah, they don't have him on here. And by the way, this list starts at 50. It could be that they're only doing guys that are done. Maybe this is like former players, you know? But it says 50, the 50 all-time top players. So they could also be going by stats, maybe? You know, and that's...
No, I mean, it's all-time greatest players. I mean...
No, it says 50 all-time top players. So, yeah, Salvi's not on here.
Yeah, no. Sal's at least number two.
Who else is missing? Who's Country Breakfast?
Yeah, he's not up there.
Laszlo, he's got to be on there somewhere.
He's not up there.
Sweeney's all the way that high.
Where'd you get this list?
Bleacher Report. But if he's that
Bleacher Report?
Yeah, isn't that...
They didn't have Bo Jackson on there.
Huh?
They didn't have Bo Jackson on there.
Well, I'm sure he's on here somewhere. Let me see.
They didn't have Alex Gordon.
I told you I didn't go through all of them.
They didn't have Lorenzo Cain.
Oh, boy. Where is Bo Jackson? My search function must not be working. Bo Jackson's got to be on here.
They didn't have Moose or
Hosmer? All right, I'm looking. Doug Bird, Roger Nelson, and I'm looking here. I'm just going to scroll through them because I got to believe my search function isn't working. There's Gordo. Gordo's number 44. Sanchez, Kirkpatrick, Belcher. I still don't see, but I got a few more to go. Bo Jackson would have to be on here. Danny Jackson.
Yeah, no. Okay.
Danny Jackson, 83-87.
Ridiculous.
Hold on. He's got to be on here. Buddy Black. Tartable, he's on here.
Danny Tartable.
David Cone. We forgot about David Cone. One of us could have mentioned
him. They're saying Danny Tartable is better than Bo Jackson.
Well, not necessarily. Maybe I'm just not down to Bo Jackson yet. Mike McFarland. Because the numbers are getting higher here. Seitzer's on here.
Yeah.
Damon. There's Damon. Johnny Damon. I wondered about him. Mm. Did they, like, forget that Bo Jackson played for the Royals? Mayberry. Okay, these are the last few that I haven't looked at. Montgomery. DeJesus. That's it. No, he's not on here.
Oh, okay, good. That list.
Well, this is Bleacher Report.
I don't know why they screwed it up, but they screwed it up.
I mean, they're not... I know they're not only going with players that, like, played their whole career here. That's pretty clear. And
right.
Bo Jackson,
Johnny Damon
would be top 50.
Unless it's player, what does it say, the list? Is it players?
I told you, it says the 50 all-time top players.
Yeah.
Kansas City Royals. That's how they've worded it.
Angry.
Well, I always check, and it said Bleacher Report, and I was like, oh, okay, good. Because if it was just like something I'd never heard of, Ted's Baseball Fantastic or whatever, or some sort of clickbait company, I wouldn't have brought it to you.
I mean, even if you wanted to move Bo down to 10 or so and just say, you know, well, he didn't play that long, right?
And move Sweeney up a little bit.
No, Sweeney is not in the top 10.
No, he was like number 12 on here or something like that. So, just saying. On Ranker, I saw the people voted Salvi is number 2. It goes George Brett, Salvi, Saberhagen number 3, yeah. Willie Wilson, Hal McRae, Dan Quisenberry, Frank White, Bo Jackson at 8.
That's much closer.
Amos Otis 9, and Gordo at 10. Lorenzo Cain right there, right. Number 11.
It's got to be Cain,
Apier, Wade Davis at 14. Now, that's what I like to see. Yeah. I'm voting him up right now. Can I get a double vote?
Where's Steve Balboni on that list?
Where is Balboni? I'll have to search for you, buddy.
The Church of Laszlo.
Before we leave.
Sure. Tell me about it.
Police chief, because you're going to see this story over the weekend everywhere, and I don't want you to think that, oh man, Slim, he's dropping the ball. He's missing this. I didn't miss it. I haven't missed any of it. Just don't bring all of it to your attention, but this one's big. Big time, baby. Police
big
chief.
Big time poo talk.
A police chief in New Jersey has been accused of...
pooing.
Been accused of... poop.
Aggressively pooping.
Been accused of poop...
his pants.
Poop pranks. He's been accused of poop pranks and other issues, and just basically not treating people in the office very well. This is North.
He's not a good coworker.
He's not. North Bergen or Bergen. I'm not sure how you say it because I heard
his name. Or?
No, that's where they're at in North Bergen. I heard it, Bergen and Bergen on the news this morning, so I don't think anybody knows how to say it unless they're from there. Small town in New Jersey. There are
North Bergen.
There are officials
North Bergen,
there,
New Jersey.
There are officials there who are
beautiful
defending.
This time of year, by the way,
probably is. There are officials there who are defending the police chief, saying that The people who are complaining are just disgruntled.
Yeah.
And they're mad about overtime pay, and so they're making these outlandish accusations. And there's no merit to them. That's what they're saying.
I've heard that before.
Five police officers who have made these...
And they say quit pooping.
Who've made these claims. And in court papers, you can see what they've accused this guy of doing. There's also some photographic evidence to go along with some of their more disturbing allegations. So this police chief is being has been accused of creating a toxic and smelly work environment.
Oh, boy.
By doing several things. One of the things that this guy apparently did, allegedly, was he would get out a can of shaving cream, he would go over to your desk, and he would start to shave his body onto your desk as like a prank, you know? Haha, I'm shaving my arms or my chest or whatever, my back. Right. Someone would shave his back. Imagine if you came.
Soto's got a hairy back.
Imagine if you came in, there's a bunch of really small, straight, slightly curled hairs all over, and you're like, where did these come from? And then he lifts up his shirt.
It would either be his back or your genital area.
Or my balls, yeah, true. I keep mine trimmed, though. He does not keep his trimmed.
Straight hair on his balls. The most crazy thing you've ever seen in your life.
Anyhow, he would shave his body, again, allegedly. He would shave his body onto the desk. He would spike. I guess spike. He would spike officers' coffee with things like Adderall.
Well, that's not a problem.
That's not a problem. More of that, please. Viagra.
Less back hair.
Yeah, less back hair, more Adderall, please. Viagra, sometimes, just depending. He'd put it in the old coffee pot, and I would think that Adderall in your coffee would...
Boners?
Yeah, a lot of energy, energetic boners. Right? You can't sit down, and you've also
got... People are just like, God damn, this coffee's strong.
Exactly. That's good coffee. And they didn't say anything about, like, he was charging them for it. I mean, I know they say they didn't get paid their overtime, but I don't know if that's his fault or not. If we had bosses who were just sprinkling Adderall around, like, ha-ha, you slipped on Adderall, I'd be like, okay, please keep doing that. Well, that other one's a Viagra. Okay, yeah, that's fine, too. So then, you know, the poo. There's no poop here. We'll get to it. Because there is something else that I do find this one slightly disturbing before we get to the poop.
Well, you didn't shaving the hair on my desk?
Shaving the hair is gross.
I don't like that.
I don't love it. But I do find the next one disturbing, actually disturbing. Not just like a gross prank. Like, come on, man, it's not Jackass. They say that he would stick people in their junk, guys in their junk.
Stick them in their junk?
Stick them in their junk with a hypodermic needle.
What?
Yeah, that he would stick hypodermic needles into their penises.
While they're walking by?
I guess.
Like the old flap of the wiener thing, but then he'd
exactly,
have a needle?
Exactly, like my buddy Graham would always do the flick, and then you're down on the ground. But it'd be like that, except you've got a needle, and now...
Right boom. Into the sack.
Yeah. Well, this is into the penis. So
into the penis?
Of a subordinate, yeah. Into the penis of a subordinate. That's from TMZ.
Well, I guess he was probably just going for that area.
Just go to the area penis. And he hit the penis. Really? Yeah. Which is what would happen to me every time, because I'm all...
Oh, penis.
Yeah. So... Yeah.
I know about you. Real small balls.
One of the other accusations involves poo.
Basically, no balls.
I'll let this lawyer explain.
Zero balls. But he does have, you know, a small penis to go with it. But his balls are so small that his penis looks big.
That's why I keep my pubes so short. Uh-huh. Also that, and because they grow straight. This is a lawyer...
That's the craziest thing, too. You think I'm kidding about that. I'm not kidding about any of that. And his pubic hair grows straight.
It just continues to grow.
On your beard.
It also continues to grow.
Right. Like, it would grow all the way out of shorts.
The reason they've seen my hair and they say it so long is because one time I continued to let it grow so he could see it so he would believe me. I was like 22 years old, and I was talking about trimming. He's like, no, I don't trim. And I said, didn't it grow out of the bottom of your shorts? He's like, no, it doesn't grow that long. It's not like that. It's curly. And I was like, oh, mine's wavy at best and mostly straight, and it'll grow and grow and grow. So I grew it out, let him see it, and then went back to taking care of it. But there's a lawyer for these, what are they, complainants? Is that a word?
Yeah. Sure.
And he gave a press conference, and he's like, look, guys, this is tough. This is really tough to talk about. I mean, I don't even know how to... say some of these things, but I'm going to try my best to tell you guys some of the things that this cop did in this office.
It actually went so far as to send certain things to officers' homes. Other acts include stabbing one of our officers in the genitals with a hypodermic needle, placing Viagra, Adderall in office coffee pots, and shaving his arms on the desks of, I believe it's a deputy chief, scraping certain excrement off of his underwear onto the person's desks.
So he'd scrape poo off his underwear. Why is there poo on your underwear? Why is there poo? But there still shouldn't be poo on your underwear.
Well, it's iffy if you don't have a bidet. That's why we get them.
You can have an itchy butt, but you shouldn't have poo on your underwear.
Stuff in there because
exactly to keep poo off my underwear. There shouldn't be poo on your underwear. Yeah, so he allegedly would scrape excrement, which is a fancy word for poop, off of his underwear. And then
did he take his underwear off?
I don't know.
And then walk by someone's desk with his underwear off?
Probably
just
reached.
Like, had like a,
just reached
like a putty thing?
I think
like,
just reached down
in there. Scraped it off, though.
Yeah, because it's stuck on his underwear, you know. He's got to scrape it off. Get in there with the fingernail. And,
with his hand?
Yeah, scrape the poo. It's his poo. What does he care?
I mean, he's the one who's putting it on people's desks.
Right. So go ahead and scrape
of
it off.
All those, take away the giving you free drugs.
Yeah.
Which one would you hate the worst?
The poo. No, the needle. The needle in the jar.
Because I feel like I don't know what you put in there.
Right. And when he's like, you got HIV, and then he's like, just kidding, I'm still like, I think I do, right?
Right.
I'm going to be worried every time I go to the doctor.
Ah, joke's on you, already had it.
Right. So, yeah, I don't like it. I don't want to be stabbed with anything in the joke.
Whoever you stab next with that thing,
right.
What you think is a joke.
Wait, HIV is the least of their worries, by the way.
The Church of Laszlo.
Hold on. I didn't want to say this earlier because I heard
what's
it this morning,
name?
But
Chief what?
I couldn't find it in the actual Chief Farley. I couldn't Chief find Farley. It in the actual court thing, but I did find it here. There's a picture. So I didn't mention this guy. I didn't want to get sued by this guy. But one of the docs does specify, we're back to this police chief, the scraping poo guy.
Docs is documents?
Yeah. It says one of the docs specifies, Chief Farley has, on several occasions, pulled his pants down and defecated on the floor in front of the entire office staff. End quote. In another instance, he allegedly defecated into a trash can in front of two workers and left it there for days before finally agreeing to clean it up. They also have a picture included in here of a pile of poo, what appears to be poo, sitting on the floor in front of the toilet.
Comical guy.
There's poo on the floor in front of the toilet, and there's a note that says, Chief Farley's defecation. Now, I don't know if like someone came in there and wrote on there for evidence, but it says, Chief Farley's defecation, and there's poo there on the floor. What? Could you imagine if you're coming in there, you're like a crime scene investigator, and you're like,
Farley
all right, well, go ahead and mark
that. Defecated on the floor of the department.
Yeah, and in a trash can.
Adderall, Viagra, and even jabbing male officer genitals with a hypodermic needle.
Pooing in a trash can and the floor, that's... I feel like probably universally almost, except for this guy and a few others, agreed upon as inappropriate. The Adderall, the Viagra, I'm into it. The shaving your arms, it's gross, but
well,
whatever.
Some
he's
of this is
fun. Some of it's
like
fun.
Like all this stuff. Like that. So they say all this stuff like he pooped on the floor, he did all this. Then it says he sent stuff to people's homes. Like sex toys and gay pride flags, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then as you go down all this stuff, you're like, okay. You know, not that you're okay with it, but you're like, all right, it's all what he thinks are, you know, fun.
Jokes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Jokes. And then it just gets down to the end and says he would also then deny people promotions in retaliation for things that they said and then assign them to do the night shift. I'm like, wait. The pooing on the floor is one thing. The denying promotions, these are...
Because of something you said.
What is a
What'd
prank?
You say?
What is a prank?
What'd you say?
Gone wrong.
Yeah.
The other is, I don't know what you would call it, workplace harassment. And,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because you could say this guy's just having a lot of fun around the office, and then with the poo on the floor, that does seem like an escalation. But... I think they could be mixing these things together because, you know, the people... here's the crazy thing, Laszlo. Don't forget that before I told you any of this, when I started to tell you this story, that the elected officials there in that town are defending him. The thing I read said that they are defending him, saying that these are disgruntled employees who are mad about overtime pay. So do they not think that he pooed on the floor, or do they think it's okay to poo on the floor? They must not think he pooed on the floor. Or in a trash can. I can't imagine that officials would defend that. But I don't know. There's a picture
of him shaving his... He's got his shirt off. He's shaving
his arm. I know. That's why I thought of his back. Like, ugh. But the poo, like, there's just no way they would defend that. They must believe that the poo is somewhere.
Oh,
else.
So this says the guy says they were friends, and
one of the
until he became chief, and that's when he started the pranks.
Mm.
So as soon as he became
went
chief,
to his head, let the power go to his head.
They started off as harmless, he said. You know, like setting off car alarms, putting ink on door handles, and soon they took a dark turn.
And a dump turn. Started pooping.
See.
I mean, because it goes, I think it goes ink, you know, car alarms, then the ink, then the shaving on the desk, then the poo on the floor, then the needle in the junk, and then finally I think you end up with the derogatory language allegedly used around the office.
It was later reported by this cop, Darren, or whatever his name is, that he found himself being chased around the office by Farley. After cornering me, this is his quote, mm-hmm. after cornering me in the filing area with no further room for retreat, he sticks a hypodermic needle through my jeans into the tip of my penis. The former administrator said that when he protested, finally commented that he was told that he didn't know how to take a joke.
You don't know how to take a joke or a shot to the junk. Where did he get the needle? Like, was it an empty... Was he shooting up testosterone? Ozempic? Why did he have the hypodermic needle? Is he a diabetic? I really hope that that was not a used needle. So you just took the time to open a brand new needle just so you could stab someone in the junk with it.
The chief once forced him to do the schoolwork of his daughter, which included writing a research paper on her behalf that took several days.
It took him several days. What an idiot. Jesus, she's in sixth grade. Just write it.
Let's see. Farley, whose father and grandfather both served as deputy chiefs of the department.
So why are these people, why are the officials defending him? I'm very curious about that.
The township of North Bergen has full confidence in Chief Robert Farley's leadership of the North Bergen Police Department, and we strongly deny these false and outrageous allegations made by disgruntled office.
They just say it's
resorting
it's
to attacks
real.
The reputation of a dedicated public servant to further their own selfish goals.
Yeah, like getting their overtime. They're just mad because they didn't get paid for work that they did.
In order to avoid the appearance of conflict of interest and because we are fully confident that these claims will be proven false, we have proactively referred them to the Hudson County Prosecutor's Office for review.
Yeah, well, he's got people on his side. Important people on his side.
Huh?
I mean, it's possible that these...
Well, I can see
employees.
A picture of him shaving his arms.
Yeah, but what if that was it? I mean, you wouldn't have a case if that's all you got. Now, you got a picture of poo on the floor, but you haven't done DNA tests on that poo yet.
I haven't seen the picture of the poo on the floor.
Oh,
I see a picture of broken glass.
Okay, I'll show you the picture of the poo on the floor. They don't show a picture of poo in the trash can, but they do show a picture of poo on the floor. If I can get this story back open. But, like I say, I mean, I would need something... Some sort of proof that that's actually his, because a disgruntled employee could absolutely here you go. They blurred the poo pile out, but you can see there's a bathroom there. And then it also...
What's the note say?
The note says, Chief Farley's defecation.
Well, he labeled it.
But I don't know that he labeled it. I don't know. Maybe, like I said, maybe CSI labeled it when they came in to look at it. I don't know. But anyhow, that's it. We're done. There's your poo news you can use.
Oh, well, good show, Chief Farley. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.